sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few short minutes as he had the day off yesterday. Phillies getting an afternoon win, sweeping the Mets in a four-game series. Who would have guessed when the week started, and being down there, being down in Philadelphia on Friday for Chase Utley retirement night, I would not have said that the Phillies were in position to sweep a four-game series against anybody after watching the series with the Marlins over the weekend. But nevertheless, the Phillies were able to do it. Two come from behind walk-off wins for the Phils in the last 2 days. Tonight here on WKOK, it'll be Vince Velasquez at 2-4 with a 4.40 ERA, who pitched pretty well Saturday. I mean, one run and one hit in five innings against the Marlins. So, you know, he's looking okay at this point early on coming out of the bullpen. But he's going to go up against Hernandez, who's 0-2 with a 4.34 ERA, 19 strikeouts. It's his fourth start since joining the rotation, looking for his first win. He pitched better than the results really are showing. Struck out 19, walked 4, and that's a 1.18 whip in 18 and two-thirds innings. Hernandez had a no decision at Philadelphia this past Saturday in that game against Velasquez. So, this one in Miami this time around after the Phillies come off that four-game sweep of the Mets, which to me means that this Philadelphia team is probably a buyer come the next, say, 2-3 weeks, right around or after the All-Star break. But we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Don't forget today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street. Oh, there you are.
Autograph. Yes, I've been here for. I had to actually sit there and listen to that diatribe the whole time.
You know, it would be nice if I would have hit the right button and then you would have been able to talk.
I've actually been sitting here since the beginning of the show.
My apologies. It's my way of taking over the program. That was the whole thing. I figure if you're stuck with me, I'm just going to take over the whole darn thing.
I just have to get a lot of guests on today. So it's great to have you here. I hope your life is going well.
It's going really well. I mean, you know, it was fun time watching the Chase Utley retirement. That was pretty. The game wasn't as what I'd hoped for at the end, but you know, it was a really cool moment. We actually watched him start his career up in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, as a Red Baron. So it was kind of nice to, you know, go full circle there.
Imagine how he feels. All right, so and he signed your kid's autograph.
Actually, no. What happened was he was, I think Daniel was probably about 4. He picked him up and put him on the field with him, knelt down so we could take a picture with the two of them together because he wanted to get to Daniel's level, and the way the stands were, he couldn't quite do it. So it was a really cool moment, and from that moment on, Daniel was all about Chase Utley. That man could do nothing wrong.
Well, he didn't see him strike out the way I did. All right, so, no.
Are we talking about Utley or Dan?
No. I understand that young Dan is engaged.
He is. Yes, he is.
Congratulations.
He is very, very excited.
Well, congratulations. I mean, we're all thrilled for you. That's great. You know, probably don't have a date yet. They're probably just...
No. This is going to be a little bit further down the road.
Why, because you mandated or because they...
No, because we don't want them living with us. That's what it is.
Oh, my goodness. What kind of parent are you?
The kind like an eagle that pushes them out of the nest and lets them fly on their own.
Terrific.
How was that for a good... I thought that was pretty clever, actually.
Sure, yeah. The U.S. Women's World Cup team is playing, I think they're starting now, against France. And essentially, many people feel this is, even though it's the quarterfinal, the World Cup title is on the line today because these have been the two dominant teams in the sport. 4 years from now, that might not be the case. The popularity of women's soccer in Europe, which has been, okay, has actually now caught on, and by having the World Cup in France, they think it has done a world of good to promote the sport on that continent. And so when they convene again in 2023, and off the top, I do not know where the 2023 World Cup is. You can expect maybe other European countries to really excel at this sport and cut into the dominance of the United States and France. But that's down the road. Today, the United States and France will play. And many feel that this is the World Cup final in the quarterfinals. And that's what makes it exciting. The ratings in this country have been good, even though these have been afternoon matchups. Fox actually does the right thing and airs them live as opposed to, hey, let's do everything on tape. Yeah.
Actually, they're in the 16th minute, and the U.S. is up 1-0 the way it looks.
There we go. Off and rolling. The France, I expected them to play a very physical style on the back end today of their defense because that's how Spain played it. And Spain threw the U.S. off kilter by doing it. And that's one of the keys everyone talks about. Well, France may do the same thing, may do the same thing. You also have time yourself to adjust. You also have time yourself to adjust. The U.S. has adjusted. And, of course, they have that 1-0 lead over France. Free agency for the NBA kicks into high gear Sunday. And, by the way, Megan Rapinoe, her free kick is the reason the U.S. is up 1-0. And Rapinoe's been outstanding in what probably is her last World Cup. She's been outstanding through this whole thing. And then NBA free agency kicks into high gear coming up on Sunday. Try as it may, Major League Baseball can't get the traction. They announced the All-Star starters, which 20, 30 years ago would have been a, wow, that's a big deal. Now, to me, and you know, this is not an anti-baseball person. I'm 180 of that. I love baseball. But it's gotten to the point with the voting and the way they do everything. It's like when they went to the fan vote in 1970, I was like, I was only 12 at the time. But I was like, really? And then watching it over the years and all the different variations of how to do it.
See, I think the fan vote has to have something to do with it, but I don't know that the fan vote should be the only, you know, avenue or the primary avenue, put it that way.
All-star games in every sport are irrelevant.
That's very true.
Hey, they don't mean anything. Now to me, it doesn't mean anything. Now, to the players, obviously, if you're voted to the all-star game, you get a bonus. If you're in the NBA all-star game, you get a bonus. NHL, Pro Bowl, you get bonuses for being this. So for the players, there is some meaning. okay, financially. But for the fans, it stopped being, I think, a big deal to a large portion of the audience a long time ago. I know what Bud Selig was trying to do after the tie in his beloved Milwaukee, where the managers ran out of players. He said, look, let's have the winner then host the World Series. I want to say it was 2003-04, somewhere around there. So the game would have some meaning. This means something. Well, nobody bought into that. And I don't blame them for trying. Again, because somebody tries, it should not be criticized. Do I think it's a good idea? No, I never thought it was a good idea, but I didn't blame them for trying. I mean, can we do something to get more juice into this, more interest into this, instead of it being a meaningless exhibition? So the attempt was made, and the attempt turned out the way all of us thought it would. It didn't mean anything, but at least they tried something. I don't know financially what it means to Cleveland coming up. How much did it mean to Washington last year financially? It may have meant something financially to the cities and to the franchises. That, I don't know. I've never done any research on the economic impact of the All-Star game. I mean, you do sell it out. It does bring others to town. But they announced the All-Star starters yesterday. Well, whatever.
One thing I'd like to see them change in the All-Star game is open or free substitution.
Just eliminate it. How about let's do that? Let's
eliminate the All-Star game, you mean?
Absolutely. Get rid of it.
Well, right? Yeah.
I'd build in what? The All-Star game, there's 4 days off. I'd build in four more off days during the regular season for the players to be better rested. I don't mean four in a row like that, but I mean four days somewhere. Look, the NBA actually, in practicality, the NBA is talking about its 75th season, which will be in 21-22. And they are discussing the possibility of reducing the number of games. I understand completely why leagues feel that they're at a point where they can't reduce games, because the salaries are at X level. The TV revenue is at X level, and you need ballpark and luxury suite revenue at X level. That I understand all that. But if you were to sit down and in a room of ideology, ask what is best for the game and the growth of the game, less is more. The NFL's fine. They have 16 games. When I sit there and I listen to the absurdity of adding two more games to 18, I don't mind them cutting down preseason games. But going to 18 games, excuse me, these individuals are beat up by the time they get to Thanksgiving. They're beat up. And you want to see a quarterback duel between Ryan Lindsley and Mark Sanchez somewhere? That's what you paid your money for? Really? I mean, backup quarterbacks are playing in NFL games in December. You want to add two more to that list? We're talking about expanding the playoffs by adding one additional team. You know, that ESPN game every year that they get at 4:30 on the opening Saturday, has that game ever been good? Has that game ever been good? I don't think that game has ever been good. I can't recall that game being exciting, dramatic, or anything over the years. To me, there are certain signs that you get that tell you not to push it any further and that less is more. So the NFL should stay at 16 games. They should keep the playoffs the way they are, because that's what works. Now, if you want to reduce preseason games, that's fine, because You know, I talked about the All-Star game. I used to like, oh, first preseason game, can't wait. You know, second preseason game, okay, great. Yeah, okay, didn't get a chance to watch the third. I'll watch some of the fourth. You know, that's the way I used to be. Now it's like, I don't care. I don't want to watch any exhibition game.
The only game that's worth watching is the third.
No, I don't even bother watching that. That's a farce.
Yeah, but at least you get to see the starters for a half, usually.
Yippee-dippee-doo. It doesn't count.
It's better than that first game where you see them not at all.
They get more out of the scrimmage than they do out of the game. They get more out of the scrimmage. Yeah, I think the Steelers usually, not always, but scrimmage the Redskins at some point. But you don't think they get more out of that? Of course they do. I mean, as a fan, I get nothing. I don't watch the third preseason game. I could care less about it. Play two. Then play a 16-game schedule. Yeah, maybe three if you feel you have to. But four and five, no. Preseason used to be six games. They've already reduced it once. Hey, hockey? Hockey should be a 60-game schedule. That's what it should be. The NBA? 60-game schedule. Believe it or not, they're debating between 58 and 60. I'll get to that in a second. And baseball should be 130 games. It should start a little bit later. It should end sooner. Should have a few more off days built in. No All-Star game. None of these sports should have an All-Star game. And the NHL needs to bag the Olympics.
I
know that disappoints you.
No. I believe it or not, I agree with you.
I mean, they need to bag it. Nobody stops your season for 2 weeks.
And that's the problem. If this happened out of season, then it'd be different. But I actually agree with you.
I mean, because the next one's in Beijing. They're not going to want to go there. I mean, in the middle of the season, suddenly play in the Far East. Now, they didn't go to South Korea, and it was the right move. But I think realistically, and again, I'm talking idealistically, realistically, you need the gate revenue, you need the luxury suites, you're taking out dates, you already have salaries at this level, the players are not going to want to have give backs. You know, you have to then negotiate new TV and radio deals, too, because they're expecting X amount of inventory. I mean, let's look at regional sports networks. Regional sports networks like Comcast, AT&T Sports in Pittsburgh, Nesson, yes. Well, guess what? Let's just take Nesson. Nesson has 162 Red Sox games. All right, take out the Fox games, but you get some spring training games. That's 162 days of programming for them. Now you add in 82 Bruins games. You're now up to 244 days of programming, of live sports programming, minus the playoffs and minus spring training. 244. That leaves you with holes to fill on 121 days in a year. Well, the yes not only carries the Yankees, they carry the Nets. AT&T in Pittsburgh carries the Pirates and the Penguins. Okay, Comcast carries the Phillies, and they've got the Sixers. You know, I mean, these guys have a lot of built-in programming, a lot. So now, if I reduce the schedule, now let's just take Pittsburgh. I've got 130 baseball games, sans spring training. 60 hockey games. Now it's gone from 244 to 190 days. Now suddenly your program isn't worth as much to me. You'd have to somehow convince them that with the less is more deal, that your viewers are going to hunger for more because they're not getting as much as they used to, and there's not the boredom factor that will set in. So it would be a very, very tricky proposition. But what is best to me for sports on the pro level, instead of expanding, Less is more. Rest means better games. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet. Miller Lite, $12.95. Miller Lite, $12.95. Miller Lite, $12.95. Brewers Outlet, Brewers Outlet. Miller Lite, $12.95. Now that's what I'm talking about. Brewers Outlet has Miller Lite 24-pack cans for just $12.95. Get it? We got it. Pickles, ice, cigars, lottery, and all your beverage and party needs are a one-stop shop at the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Ah, feel the heat of summer. You need refreshing beverages to take care of business. That's right. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Hell, maybe not everybody's a beer lover. Well, they have plenty of wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Look, you not only want to stock up for the weekend where it's going to be in the mid-80s all weekend, but the 4th of July is coming up. And you want to make sure you are fully stocked and ready for the big 4th of July celebration and the 4th of July weekend. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Joined today by Kevin Herr, who we congratulate on justifiably winning the state award for outstanding play-by-play for the brilliant job he did on Shikellamy football. Also does a brilliant job on Shikellamy basketball. It is great to have him, a.k.a. the suit. But because today the U.S. Women's World Cup team is playing in France, we refer to him as Les Suits.
Les Suits, yes. I knew that was coming, actually. When you started that, I thought Les Suits is next.
Les Suits. It's great to have you here.
Great to be here again, hanging out with you, my friend.
All right, so let's get to some Penn State news. And we'll bring in Nate Bauer now, who spends a good chunk of this offseason on the golf course trying to break 75. We welcome Nate to the show. Nate, welcome back.
That is correct. I was actually doing some training for said event, getting ready.
You know, you train every day, I noticed. You really are a dedicated trainee.
Yeah, you know, training is actually an interesting word to use. I would probably call it something else. But
depends on the shot.
Yeah, it doesn't. Training and I don't necessarily get along. Practicing, maybe. I don't even know if we could call it that. You know, earning reps. How's that?
Sure. I'll go that direction if you want. Sure.
Sure. Okay. I'll take it.
Okay. So let's get to some football stuff. Let's start with this. We were just talking about this. The NCAA has decided to change two or three words in their ability to allow a transfer to play right away. Now, instead of using the fourth word that just says no,
yeah.
That's a word, no. they're going to change. How have you viewed all of this?
So, you know, I haven't been paying too close of attention, just kind of peripherally. I was in Atlanta for the Rivals five-star challenge. I was taking in some of Penn State's committed prospects.
Hang on.
That said, I have been up on the Twitter, and one of the tweets that I read that seemed to resonate the most was effectively saying that the most useful waiver requests, right, the ones that are going to be taken most seriously, are going to come attached on a lawyer's letterhead.
Right? Yes, so, of course,
like,
they are.
With a lawyer's backing, very much the NCAA is going to wilt, right? Like, they're going to give in to those types of requests. And, I mean, it seems like any of the rule changes that they're trying to make, I mean, obviously you understand what they're doing. It's becoming free agency effectively, but they want to, you know, they want to get on the other side of that. But, you know, for the athletes and their parents that have the means, if you've got a lawyer or a law firm that can back you up, you know, it seems pretty clear like that's the way that it's going to go.
Yeah, no. If you want to get them into the fetal position, that's usually the fastest route to do it.
Yep.
All right. So you're down there in Atlanta.
Uh huh.
All right. I'm sure you went over and saw your College Hall of Fame bust. Should have been very nice.
Always the stop when I'm in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Chick-fil-A too.
Chick-fil-A, the Chick-fil-A.
That's right.
All right. What did you think of the camp, and what's the impression you received?
You know, so it's kind of interesting. I mean, Penn State, and you know this, like, so, you know, full disclosure, recruiting is not my game. Like, I just, right. You know, that side of things is not my forte in any capacity, either following it and or analyzing it. So, you know, the way that a kid moves his hips, you got me. Does he have long arms? I couldn't tell. I have a hard time judging between 6'5". And 6'1", you know. So far,
this answer is going the way I hoped.
Yeah, so those things don't necessarily resonate with me, but. You know, I do have eyes, right? And so I'm able to compare, you know, what I see versus everybody else. Right. And so Curtis Jacobs, there were two guys that are committed to Penn State down there, Curtis Jacobs and Golden, I don't want to mess his last name up, Achumba, I believe, is how you pronounce it. Golden being an offensive lineman, he's a guard, and Jacobs being a linebacker. And Jacobs held his own, I thought. I thought he was he looks the part, he's thick, he's fast. He's got great ball skills. He had an interception down there in 7-on-7, which, you know, you don't usually see out of linebackers in 7-on-7. I thought he had a nice camp, and I thought he, you know, really acquitted himself pretty well against that level of competition. And honestly, I thought the same thing with Golden. You know, but he went up in 1-on-1s against some of the best defensive linemen in the country, and it's kind of those drills, those one-on-ones that they run for offensive line versus defensive line, it's kind of stacked against the offensive line. You know, they don't let the defensive line do bull rushes, but, you know, it's a tough spot to be in. You know, you're not going to win a ton of reps on the offensive line, and he held up pretty well. So those were the two big impressions, but the flip side of it, and Penn State fans aren't going to want to hear this, but the linebacker MVP of the camp was Wingo, and the offensive line MVP was Aaron Parks. So Penn State kind of a up and down, you know, good news, bad news from the camp is just like, hey, you got two guys who really did look good and they held their own. But two of the standouts that were best at the camp are guys who just recently decommitted from Penn State.
Now, this is probably a question better answered by Ryan Snyder, but decommitments are not an unusual item across the country at the highest level, correct?
That's correct. And so, one of the fee, they have a media day on Monday, and then the event was on Tuesday. But, one of the talking points on Monday was just like, hey, what's going on at Penn State among my colleagues? But then when I went to some of the national analysts, some of the guys that do this for a living and, take in the whole country, I think what tends to happen is we as media get tunnel vision and say, what's going on at Penn State? Well, it's not what's going on at Penn State. It's what's going on everywhere. And that's kind of what was brought to my attention is, look, the numbers that they ran, I was told that most programs, like every Power 5 program, averages 5 decommitments a year at this point. So, that's stark. I mean, that is definitely a growing trend. It's something that, is much different from maybe what it had been even 5 years ago. You just weren't seeing as many kids commit, decommit, open up their recruitment, and then end up back on the market. So, yeah, it's been an interesting month for Penn State football, but, again, you'd rather have it happen now than in January or February, when your options start to close up as a program.
So I want to get a quick thought on Sean Clifford. Obviously, the door is open for him. I saw him again this morning, as a matter of fact. What do you think about him, and what is the early impression you got of Will Levis?
Yeah, so, obviously one of the big themes this summer has been, this idea of open competition. And James Franklin and his staff and the program as a whole are just so committed to it. And in fact, that's, effectively the reason that Tommy Stevens isn't here anymore. Right? So, with that in mind, I'm giving Levis a chance. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving him a great chance, but I'm giving him a chance because I think that's the attitude that they want to have for these guys going into preseason. That said, to me, the big question with Sean Clifford is not how fast he runs, right? Like his straight line 40 speed.
Really good.
It's really good. But it's less important to me than his foot speed in the pocket. Mm-hmm. So his ability to be elusive is what's most intriguing to me because I certainly don't have any real sense of that as to how he compares to a Trace McSorley, who honestly made a living out of that. That sixth sense of knowing when the pocket's collapsing, stepping up, breaking out into the open field and taking off, turning a 7-yard loss into either a 10-yard gain or, sometimes in Trace's case, a 40-yard gain, right? So those are the things that are going to be interesting to me about Clifford. But what's not, to me, up for debate is, the kid's got an arm, and he's accurate.
Yep.
Lo and behold, the last time that I went down to one of those camps again. Not my forte.
I know.
Not my forte. But the last time that I went down was in 2016, and Clifford was the winning quarterback of the 7-on-7 competition.
Mm-hmm.
He got leadership out the wazoo. He is.
We talked about that this morning.
Yeah, I mean he's got look, nobody checks all the boxes. Right, there's too many boxes to check.
You're pretty close, though.
But he's got a lot of them. He's got a lot of them. So, I think it's going to be. I think the season is shaping up to be very, very interesting.
I do too.
What's fascinating to me, Steve, and you might actually have a better sense of this than I do at this point is, if last season was a disappointment, which I think generally speaking, at least the outside perception, is that it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of that, it kind of raises the expectations for this year a little bit, which I think is unfair.
Right.
I think this year, like, to me, if I'm a fan or if I'm just watching this team, to me, you know, you go into this year with very low expectations, with right. just, oh, okay, this is a brand new group of kids. You got a brand new quarterback. You know, there's all kinds of reasons, all kinds of valid reasons why you should expect them to have lots of downs in addition to some of the ups. Because if you go in with that perception, I think this team could surprise a lot of people. You know, yeah. like you got a lot of guys who haven't played a whole lot, yeah. but overwhelmingly the consensus is they're talented.
Yeah.
And Clifford to me is a keystone of that type of setup that they've got.
One quick basketball note, then I'll let you go. I've maintained for years, and I've had a little experience over the years, but, that Penn State is usually better off when they're the older team.
Absolutely.
In basketball.
Yep.
They have transitioned into this particular year to being the older team.
Yep.
Roger Bolden ended up transferring to Iowa State. Believe it or not, because he hasn't graduated yet, so he's not here yet. I can't talk about the transfer. We all know who he is, but
mm-hmm.
okay. But what do you think a veteran that has experience coming off the bench can add to this team moving forward?
Yeah, it's another piece, right? Pat has consistently, you know, I mean, and look, we're talking about an 8-year span now. He has consistently had one missing element. Like,
yeah.
The year that he was supposed to have DJ and Tim, you know, Tim goes down.
Yep.
The year of Sasha and Jermaine leaving,
yep.
you know, had those guys been on that team, you know, that's a pretty good team. You know, so I've never expected Penn State basketball to be a year-in, year-out Big Ten, you know, even middle of the pack, right? I mean, that's just not the identity of this program right now. That said, because of those missing elements, that's, you know, it's always been an obvious Achilles heel.
So, like, if that's the young players' fault, because
now, you know, now with a team that is older, which, you know, look across the board, Steve, Virginia this past year.
Yep.
You know, teams that are older have more success in college basketball, other than the rare exception of a Kentucky, a one-and-done Kentucky, UNC, Duke. Overwhelmingly, teams that do well through and through are older in college basketball. And this year, they've got that. You know, you got a 23-year-old, 23, I think, 24?
23
right now. By the time the season starts, he'll be 24.
I know.
So, Mike, I mean, that's a grown man's body now that you're dealing with in Mike Watkins at center. 22, 23-year-old Lamar Stephens. It makes a huge, huge difference to have that. And by adding this kid, you know, that's coming in from OK State, yeah, you know, now you've got another piece to the puzzle to go along with, you know, some of the exciting young players that they had from last season in a Miles Dredd. You know, Jamari Wheeler, you know, as a third mm-hmm. year, John Harar as a third year. It's shaping up for them to be able to, you know, again, people don't want to hear overselling on Penn State basketball, because, you know, I think that they've heard some of it before and it disappoints them.
Mm-hmm.
But at minimum, this is a team that is set up right now to compete with, effectively, in my mind, just about anybody in the Big Ten.
Nate, always a pleasure. If you get an opportunity to go out and practice more, go ahead.
You know, I can't practice today because I've got an actual match tonight. League night, Steve.
Well, it's league night.
It's league night. It's league night. Mm. Can I tell you a brief story?
Sure.
Very brief, I promise. Last week, they fed me to the wolves, a dude that's a scratch golfer. For these are nine-hole matches, right?
Yeah.
I was getting three pops, and I had, you'll love this, I had a two-hole lead with three to play. So all I needed was one split, right, to just get the tie. I needed one split. What do you think happened?
You didn't win.
I did not win. I lost, and it was very hard. It was very hard. My ego is damaged. I'm bruised and battered as a competitor out here.
Always a pleasure, Nate. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Nate Bauer back next hour of the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.